going to get out of the way of that.
Good afternoon. Welcome. Wow, this sounds wonderful. We have a new microphone. Look at that. Welcome to the library this afternoon, and thank you for coming to join us to help us celebrate National Library Week. We're here to celebrate a couple of our favorite author illustrator team here, and I have a couple of questions before we begin. Can you raise your hand if you like to write stories or make up stories? Raise your hand. Okay, some of you do. And can you raise your hand if you like to draw or illustrate stories? Oh, we have quite a few artists in here. And now, this is a question for the grown-ups and the children. Raise your hands if you sometimes like to work together to create stories, either through writing or drawing. Great. Well, you have come to the right place today. We have two very special guests. These two people are writers and illustrators, and today they're going to share a book that they created together. So please join me in welcoming Jules and Kate Pfeiffer.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here. This is Henry of Henry the Dog with No Tail. Henry is a dog that actually exists. And the story didn't exist before Katie wrote it, but the dog existed because it's an Australian Shepherd. They're born without tails. And so it was not too much of a stretch of the imagination for Katie to come up with the story of a dog with no tail. But then she needed a story to go with it, and she had to make that up, and that's what she's going to show you now. And after that, after she shows you the story, we are going to do our own children's book. And if we come up with a good one, we'll publish it under my name, and I'll own the copyright, and you'll have done all that work for nothing, but which is a really lesson in what life teaches you. So here is the story of Henry, as narrated by Kate Pfeiffer.
Hi, everyone. First, thank you for coming. Sometimes when you write children's books, you don't get to meet the person who illustrates them. With my first book, Double Pink, I never met the illustrator. And so this was an entirely different experience because I've known the illustrator of Henry the Dog with No Tail my entire life.
Yeah, we met.
And he claims to have known me longer than I've known him. But so I have this dog, Henry, as you can see here. And Henry's very rambunctious, and he does not have a tail. And we spend a lot of time wondering whether he wishes he had a tail and whether he looks at other dogs and thinks, wow, check out that tail. That dog's got some tail. And I decided to write a story about our dog, Henry, and I was lucky enough to have my dad illustrate it, and I'm going to read you the story on PowerPoint. This is sort of new for us. So I'm going to go stand over here, and hopefully this will work, and you can look over there, and maybe we can dim the lights a little bit. Is that possible? And if I'm standing in anyone's way, although I have to be able to read this story because I don't know. Henry, can you guys see? Or am I right in your way? Yes. This is the heaviest easel I have ever. Henry wanted one thing in life. He wanted a tail. And you can see he's looking. Nothing is there. Henry was a dog with no tail, and this made him sad. All the other dogs he knew had tails. His best friend Grady, a black Labrador, had a great big black tail that he swung like a baseball bat and chased like a cat. His friend Pip, a pug, could do tricks with her tail. She could twist it and curl it. Pip liked to put on shows for the other dogs. She'd ask the dogs in the audience to bark to 10, and before they were done, she had tied her tail in a bow. And can you guys see the little bow that Pip made with... And then there was Larry. Larry, whose real name was Larissima, was a prize-winning poodle whose tail stuck straight up in the air and had a big puffy ball stuck to the end of it. Henry didn't care if he had a long or thin or curly or puffy tail. He didn't care what kind of tail he had. Henry moped around the house feeling sorry for himself. He moped And he moped. And you see, he's looking out the window, imagining what he'd look like with different types of tails. His owners saw how sad he was, so they told him he should go find a tail. Henry thought this was a fine idea and left home in search of a tail. And naturally, when a dog goes in search of a tail, he goes to the tailor's. "Hello," said Henry. "Hello," said the tailor. "I am here for a tail," said Henry. "As you can see, I do not have one. Perhaps you have an extra." "I don't have tails here, but I could try to make you one," replied the tailor. The tailor worked all day and all night and made a tail for Henry. Now, the problem was that the tailor worked a little too long. He really didn't have to work all night. All day would have sufficed. So I'm just going to put this down for a second and give you a preview of what happened. So, the tailor buttoned it on and Henry went on his way. And you see, he really does have a long tail. Henry wanted to show off his new tail, so he went to the park. "Look," he said, "I've got a new tail." "Wow, neat, cool," said Grady. "Does it do any tricks?" asked Pip. "Can you guys see my..." Henry ran around in a circle and jumped over his tail. The first time, he did a high jump. Then, he did a long jump. Then he ran backwards and jumped. He did a spin jump, a low jump, and a leap jump. Then, he tripped. "Guess what? Dogs don't trip over real tails," said Larissima. "I think your tricks are neat," said Grady. "Sometimes tricks take practice," added Pip. "It doesn't look like a real tail to me," said Larry. "If that's a real tail, then wag it." Henry tried to wag his tail, but it wouldn't wag. "I told you that wasn't a tail," scoffed Larry. "It's a fake." Henry left the park feeling miserable. His new tail was too long, and worst of all, it didn't wag. What good was a tail that didn't wag? So Henry went to the wagon maker and asked, "Can you make my tail wag?" But the wagon maker said, "I don't make things wag. I make wagons." Henry bought a wagon from the wagon maker. He filled his wagon with food and water and left town, vowing not to return until his new tail wagged. He traveled for 3 days and three nights. He climbed mountains and walked around lakes. On the fourth day, he ended up in New York City's Battery Park. It was full of batteries. Henry decided to put one on his tail and... what do you guys think? His tail started to wag. Henry packed up his wagon and headed home. His tail started wagging so fast it was hard to walk, so he ran. Then his tail started wagging so fast that it was hard to run, so he sat down and his tail pushed him the rest of the way. "Look," said Henry, "my tail wags." "Wow, neat, cool," said Grady. "Humph," scoffed Larry. "You can be in my show," said an excited Pip. Which was good, because Henry's tail was wagging so fast it lifted him off the ground and threw him along like a frisbee. Since not many dogs have tails that can toss them across a field, Pip was sure the show would be a great success. She called together all the dogs. After finishing her act, Pip announced her new partner, introducing Henry, the dog with the super tail. "It's unlike any tail, anywhere, at any time, in any place. Please put your paws together for Henry." The dogs put paw to paw and barked a round of applause. At this point, Henry was supposed to fly onto the stage. But he didn't. Instead, he shouted, "I'm up here!" All the dogs looked up. Henry was in the air, flying like a helicopter. Grady and the other dogs thought this was a pretty cool trick and shouted, "Higher! higher, higher. But Henry didn't want to go higher. He wanted to go lower. He wanted to be on the ground chasing balls, not up in the air dodging birds. Henry was scared. He grabbed onto a branch at the very top of a tree and held on as tight as he could. Higher! 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 Chanted the dogs down below. All the dogs, that is, but one. Take the battery off of your tail! Yelled Larry. Even though it was Larry's idea, Henry knew it was a good idea. He took the battery off of his tail and... what happened? It stopped wagging. Then he took off his tail and hung it from a branch on the tree. Henry, the dog with no tail, carefully climbed down the tree. Wow! Neat, cool, said Grady. What a show, exclaimed Pip. You know, I guess you're not so bad without a tail, conceded Larry. Henry agreed. I think my days of having a tail are behind me, he said. To this day, Henry's tail remains on the tree, flapping like a flag in the wind. And to this day, Henry, the dog with no tail, is very happy that he's a dog with no tail and a tale to tell. And and that is the story of Henry the dog with no tail.
Now, there's another story here, and which is, how did I go about drawing Henry the dog with no tail when the only dog I had ever drawn before, is there a marker here for me to show? Talk amongst yourselves. Can you open this up?
Yep.
Now, I have been known to do only one dog before. See, I'm a cartoonist, and I don't do illustrations, and I don't know how to illustrate dogs, and I didn't know how to do Henry when all this began, but she wrote this book, and I couldn't draw Henry looking like this because I already had done a dog looking like this. Does anybody know who this dog is? Okay. Does anybody know, recognize that dog? Who is that dog? That's Bark George. Now, that's a perfectly good dog if you're a Bark George dog. But that's a very, not very good dog if you do it, if you're a Henry dog, because Henry was a real dog. And I couldn't get away with drawing Henry that way. Because so, one thing, Henry would sue me.
So you tried first drawing Henry this way.
So I had to learn how to draw Henry, and what Katie did was take some, she lives up on Martha's Vineyard, and this was during off season when we didn't live on Martha's Vineyard, where we have a summer house. So she took some photographs of Henry, then she took some movies of Henry, and I played them on a videotape, and I pushed the pause button, and I draw, and I draw, and I draw, and then finally summer came, and I drew up, and we drove up, and I asked Henry to pose for me. And
Henry's very rambunctious. He doesn't like to pose.
Henry would pose for all of 3 seconds at a time. And then Henry would do something else. But whatever the else would be, it wouldn't be posing. And finally, I learned to draw something. And then once I had learned to draw Henry, I had to learn to draw all those other dogs because Katie had written all the other dog parts. So I had to learn how to draw the
pug.
What was the
pug, who, by the way, all the other dogs are based on real dogs that we know also.
Yes, very unhelpful. And so The dogs came along. I saw some of the dogs in person, and I went to the library, the local library, and took out every dog book they had with photographs. And I spent a lot of time, and I brought some of them to show you. Can you get on the screen the drawing of the announcement? Can you get that on?
Hold on.
Wait a second.
So forward. It's forward. Forward. Towards the end of the book, sorry.
So that drawing over there on top was originally, this was, now before this one, there must have been a dozen of these, just trying to get the dog to look like the real thing, and then to make it look dramatic, look, you have the dog standing up and making an announcement, and this finally became the drawing you see there. That's the one I was in the book. And now, to do this, which is fairly simple, took, maybe 4 or 5 hours of work just to get the dog to look right. Now, this is not what I'm used to in my life. I'm used to getting it right in about 45 seconds. So it was a whole different kind of experience. Here are some of the other drawings from the book. This is Henry looking up the window, imagining himself with a tail.
Oops, there it is. Wait, Dad, can I show them the dummy now also so we can compare all three pictures? Can I show the dummy also so they can see the picture?
Oh, yeah,
which
sure.
Was
go ahead.
But who here when they write does rough drafts of their stories? Do you think illustrators do rough drafts too? Yes. Well, illustrators do rough drafts as do writers. And when you're making a picture book, before it's a picture book, one of the first steps is to make sort of a rough draft of a picture book. And this is a rough draft of Henry. And I just want to show you this picture also because it's very different in this than it was in the final.
So you can see these pictures are just sketchy black and white drawings. And in this picture, he's imagining what he looked like with different tails. He's in thought bubbles. So often when you do a rough draft, and you'll change it for the final draft, you'll think about it and think,
I like that, but I think I want to revise it. And you'll change it. And this is what illustrators do as well as writers. They do a drawing, and then they revise it, right? Or not.
Now here is, can we get the drawing of Henry going to the wagon master? Wagon maker. There we are. Now here is my first experiment with that drawing. And that's pretty close to what it finally looked like. And here's another version of it.
And here's this version. Yes.
Anyhow, the way the book was drawn, and every book is done differently that I've illustrated, the ones I've written myself and the one I did for Kate, and we're about to do another one. And that is, I do rough sketches. First, I do this little book which tells the story, which is called A Dummy. And that's to show the editor and publisher what the finished book will look like before the color is added, and just to be able to read the story. And then I have to try to get an idea of what the final drawing would look like, and I do a lot of drawings until I get happy with the one I'm going to draw, and then I do that on a finished sheet of paper and color it in. And finally we have a book. Now, what I'd like to do here for the rest of the time, our time together, unless somebody has a question first. Does anybody have a question? How old are you, sir? My own books have all been done in different forms, but for this I evolved a form I love working with and will continue to work with it. I do the finished drawing in charcoal, and then there's a spray you use which allows you to apply paint to the charcoal, and I put watercolor over that. And in addition to watercolor, there are colored crayons called Tomboy brush pens. And I add that, I mean, I just want it to look, some people like to look, have their work look as finished as possible. I am happy having my work look as sloppy as possible and give it a rough look and make it look immediate. I want the look on the paper to look as if it just happened. And often I get that by just having it happen. That's the technique. Yes, you have a question.
The owner is, this is, let me go, oops, that is me, that is my husband Chris, and that is my daughter Maddie. And for any of you guys who know the book Double Pink, Maddie was the inspiration for Double Pink. My daughter loves pink very, very, very much, very much.
And is she in any other books?
But she's in a book called The Daddy Mountain that he wrote and illustrated. Do you, any of you guys know The Daddy Mountain?
And she's in a room with a zoo. That
and she's in a room with a zoo.
She's all over the place. And she's only 9 years old. But she doesn't have a movie deal yet. Any other questions? All right, then what we're going to do now is this. Now, as Katie has explained it, and as I've tried to explain it, everything there is to know about children's books you already know. So nothing is to stop us from creating your own children's book. So what we're going to do here, or try to do here, is for you to write and for me to draw and then for you to help me draw our own kids' books. We have to, now, for every story, you need characters. You need a leading character, a central character, a hero or a heroine. It's a person or an animal or a thing. And I need some suggestions because that's the way we're going to do this. You're going to come up with the ideas. I will decide what a good, which is a good idea and which is a bad idea because I'm the one with the microphone. Yes, use young man. What? But also you have to talk loud because I'm very hard of hearing. The what?
Wait a second. Once there was a man, and his name was Jonathan.
Well, that's the beginning of the story, but is Jonathan a boy? Is he a mouse? Is he a...
He was a man. He was a man.
Well, I think I'd like some suggestions other than a man, maybe. You know, something else. But you can come up with something. Yes, you. What's that?
Once there was a horse, and his name was Jonathan? Or just a horse?
Okay. All right. Do we like horse? Does everybody like horse? No, what do you think?
Cinderella anteater.
A what?
Cinderella anteater.
An anteater?
Cinderella anteater.
Uh-oh. What do you think?
Or
we
could call it Cinder Cat.
Cinder Cat.
What kind
Cinder
of cat?
Cinder Cat. It's Cinderella's part cat. Cinder Cat, right?
Once there was a Cinder Cat named Jonathan. That sounds like a good story. Okay, hold on a second. Let's see what we can do here.
All right.
The cat's fur, you think, should look like the color of rags? Who knows what kind of cat this is?
This is a
A teeny tiny black cat?
Well, this is a cinder cat.
A cinder cat.
What is your name, cat?
I thought it was Jonathan.
Okay. Now, one of the things you learn is that
if you see it in print, it's true. So, it's always true. So, this is a cinder cat. His name is Jonathan. Now we have a lead character. It's a cinder cat. Thank you very much for that idea. And thank you very much for that idea. Now, we're not finished. We have barely begun. Because what happens next? Does anybody have an idea of what the story is? Yes. No, what are you answering? We need somebody who hasn't.
Have you said any? No, I think.
Yes, young lady. What? Cinder cat got your tongue? I'm sorry, what?
He found a mouse.
He found a mouse. Okay, I kind of like that. Jonathan found a mouse. And what's your idea?
He found a mouse named
Anteater. He found a mouse named
Anteater. You're not trying to help, really, are you? You're just trying to break up this whole thing. That's right, here again. He found a mouse named Anteater? I don't think so. But he found a mouse named... What were you going to say?
Oh, well, I was thinking that the mouse could be wearing a necklace like that.
Wow.
What
was that?
The mouse could be dressed in a similar attire.
Well, how would Jonathan find the mouse? How does Jonathan find the mouse? Where does the mouse come from?
How do you miss a mouse that's dressed like that?
Yeah.
In the bottom of a wall.
What's that?
The bottom of a wall. Is that what you said? The mouse is at the bottom, coming through the hole in the bottom of a wall. Coming through a hole in the bottom of the wall.
All right. Here we go. There is a mouse coming through a hole in the bottom of the wall. Now, it's saying, oops, because it sees Jonathan, and Jonathan is a cat, although he's a cinder cat. Now, this is so tiny, you can have trouble seeing it, so I think we have to move in for a close-up. There's the mouse hole. There's the mouse. And the mouse is very scared. This is sweat. The cat is, mouse is sweating. Oops, it says. All right. We got the cinder cat named Jonathan. We've got the mouse. Does the mouse have a name?
Did the mouse have a name? So who's going to name the mouse?
Who wants to name the mouse? What's the name of the mouse?
Bob.
Bob? Bob the mouse? So we have a Jonathan the cat and Bob the mouse. All right. What did you say?
Bob, he's a gray mouse.
Bob is a gray mouse. Okay, this is Bob. The mouse. All right. Now, Bob is coming out of the hole, sees Jonathan, and our story begins to happen. What now? We have, now things, to get a story, you need a beginning, and we've had the beginning. Now, here's the hard part. You need a middle. In the middle, that's when the story really gets going. That's when the action of the story really happens. That's when the reader, that's you, gets interested or not. So we need something really interesting to happen between Bob and Jonathan, or another character you might. Yes?
Mouse is really scared, but he's also really good at he goes across the room on tiptoe to get the cheese on the other side, and then he steps on Jonathan's foot.
Did you? The mouse is very scared, but he's also very, very hungry. So he sneaks across the room to get a piece of cheese, but steps on Jonathan's foot by mistake.
Mistake. Okay. I think I like that. Does everybody like that?
Yeah.
Okay. So
sounds like trouble ahead to me for poor Bob.
So here we have the hungry mouse sneaking across the room. Tiptoeing. And this is how you know the mouse is hungry.
Rumble.
His tummy is rumbling. There's the mouse. Now, here is Jonathan. Does Jonathan see the mouse or not?
Yes.
Well, we have to take a vote. Yes or no?
Well, if Jonathan doesn't...
Raise your hand. Wait, I'm sorry.
The thing, if Jonathan doesn't see the mouse, he'll feel something when the mouse steps on... Don't forget, the mouse is stepping on Jonathan's toe by mistake.
Oh, I forgot that. Mm. What is he stepping on his toe by mistake?
Yes. He's scurrying across the floor to get the cheese and steps on Jonathan's toe.
Okay. John steps on... Okay, here's Jonathan.
You can go next. Jonathan's very large compared to this mouse.
And Jonathan says, "What the heck is going on here?" And the mouse says, "Oops." All right. Jonathan has stepped on the toe. I mean, the mouse has stepped on Bob the mouse. Hi, Bob. Bob the mouse has stepped on the toe of... You're inching forward, aren't you?
But, except, Dad, do you still want to go next? I told this little girl that she could go next.
Oh, okay.
We've been on this
side.
Yeah,
go ahead.
The cat can't feel the mouse because the mouse is too tiny.
Oh, Jonathan doesn't feel the mouse. It's too tiny?
Well, that's a good idea, but I already did the drawing, and you can't ask me to do another drawing because because I'm just not going to do it. That's all. It's just too much work. So I wish you had said that earlier, and next time we do a story, we'll do that one.
Do you have another idea, though? No? Okay, well, let me know when you have another idea.
Okay. Yes, you're back there.
Ooh, so the mouse, Bob, tries to run back into his hole.
Yeah, not a good idea.
However, he steps on a piece of gum.
I like that. Do we all like that? Okay.
Well,
I can't deal with this crowd.
Here, you draw.
what are we getting from here?
So the mouse is scurrying back to its hole, but gets stuck on a piece of gum.
Okay.
Okay.
But was all this, the yelling going on?
What screaming? Screaming. What does he scream?
He screams, "Help! I'm stuck."
Okay. Okay. So here is the mouse, Bob, scurrying back to his hole. Here's the hole. See the hole? Okay. And here is, you know, I'm a little tired of drawing. Does anybody know how to draw a mouse? Who can draw a mouse? Well, yes, it's your idea. You drew the mouse. Come in. We'll start with your son, a holding sheet of paper. I don't want to influence you with my haul. Okay, draw the mouse. Remember, stuck his
don't
foot
forget
is stuck
the gum.
In some gum. You can make him as big as you like or as small as you like. That's the gum. See, he's starting from the feet up. Which makes sense because the whole story here is about getting stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the mouse should be the main character.
And
the mouse should be the
main
getting stuck.
Oh. I like that title, Getting Stuck. Or Bob Gets Stuck.
Well. Yeah, well, it's true that Jonathan the syndicate hasn't had a lot to do yet, has he? It's, you know, you find so often that the other character seems to steal the show sometimes from the lead. And but we don't know yet. We haven't arrived at the end of the story. Oh, my God, you are good.
Have you done this before?
I want to assure you, I've never seen this kid before. He hasn't been paid yet.
Before you go, you need to sign your name, okay?
Oh. And he's saying ops. I think you mean
thank
oops,
you, Fred.
There we go. Okay. Yay. Thank you, Fred. All right. Now, what is Jonathan? Remember Jonathan? What is Jonathan's reaction? Jonathan has to react to this. The cat is stuck on some gum. Anybody new here who hasn't talked yet? Oh, you. Well, you did talk. But go ahead. What do you have to say? Uh-huh. I think you have to work on that a little bit before. I mean, you're very close, you know. I don't want to discourage you. It's very almost there. Okay, young lady, you've been...
There's a lot of commotion, and
There's a lot of commotion, and I'm sorry, who comes in? Okay, there's a lot of commotion, and the owner of the house comes in and says, "What is going on here?"
Well, I'm not sure we want an owner of the house in the story at this point, because it seems to me it would get it would confuse the relationship, the very interesting relationship between our syndicate and our mouse. So I think we have to kind of focus on those two. And who's got a suggestion about those two? You, young.
The syndicate says, "Oh, yum, mouse in pancake?" No, mousy pancake.
Okay. I like that. We like that? I think we can sell that to the publisher. Oh, yum. Mousy pancake. And she's getting ready to go into action. Okay.
Dad.
All right, now we're fast coming to a climax here.
Dad.
Things are getting very...
Shit, young lady,
yes. What?
The suggestion was that the cat eat its mousy pancake, and then the mouse sing twinkle, twinkle inside the cat's tummy.
Oh, you're a cruel woman. She thinks it's funny that you're a cruel woman. But I think we can do something a little more compassionate. I hope so. You haven't asked a question. You haven't done anything yet, have you? Yeah. Go to the back of the room. No, I don't think so. Why would the mouse turn into a chicken? How would that help us? Oh.
Don't forget we're dealing with Cinder Cat here.
But it's a Cinder Cat. So it turned... Well, but Cinderella didn't turn into...
Yeah, but she was minutes away from Pumpkinhead.
It's been a while since I've read Cinderella. Was there a chicken in Cinderella? The prince was chicken, and that's why he... Oh, well, that's another story. Yes. What happens?
Well, the mouse finally gets off of the gum, and the cat eats the gum that was stuck on the paper.
The cat eats the gum.
And he thinks that he ate the mouse.
Oh!
The cat eats the gum thinking he ate the mouse. Well, I think that is a remarkable suggestion. Do you think the reader will accept that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And maybe the gum can be gray.
Wait, let me try. Here is the cat.
Do you want some assistance drawing? Do you want some drawing help?
Huh?
Do you want some drawing help? I think we have some eager drawers.
Yes. I've drawn the beginning of the cat. Now, what? You're raising her hand? All right, come on. Now, draw the cat, finish the cat, eating the gum, thinking it's the mouse. This... This has operatic dimension, this whole thing. Mistaken identities, confusion. You give up? All right. Now
you have to sign your name.
That's right. All right, now we need someone else to add the gum that the cat is swallowing. Who's going to do that? Okay, you can do that. Cat is swallowing gum. Let's not forget our storyline here.
And we need the mouse screwing off also, don't we?
Well,
do
we
no, no, we don't.
But let's do one thing at a time.
Okay, sorry.
That's the gum.
Uh-huh. Ew. Do you want to sign your name too? Harry Gum Girl?
Well, first I say yum gum.
Yum gum.
That's what I said. Do you want to sign your name? Thank you very much. All right. And what happens to Bob the Mouse now? Yes.
He rams back into his hole and he goes to sleep.
He goes back to his hole and he goes to sleep. And that would end our story. I think that's, what do you think?
I think it's brilliant.
Okay. Here is the mouse. Who wants to draw the mouse going back to his hole? You, young lady. I think the hole could be right over there. I'll hold it. That's right. That's the floor. And the mouse is scurrying back to its hole.
Bless you.
This is Bob the Mouse, in case you have forgotten.
Close call for Bob.
Where's Bob's tail?
That,
you don't know where the tail
that's
is.
That's Bob's tail, I think.
Okay.
Can you sign your name?
Yes. I think there's some reluctance to put a tail on this Bob. So who would like to pin the tail on the Bob?
Yes, you.
Yeah. Oh, she, to her. Okay. Wherever you think. Yeah. Okay. All right. Bob goes back to the hole. The cat, very happy on its with its feast of gum, thinking it's a mouse, goes to sleep. It's been a satisfactory day for everybody. And our story is finished. You see how easy it is. Thank you very much for your participation. And your check is in the mail. Now, are we about out of time, or what's... Okay. Does anybody have any more? Yes.
The Bob the Mouse Cinder kit, the story we just wrote? You know, I didn't write it down. I should have written it down, but I did not. That would be an appropriate title.
You have a question?
What about we make the title up. Someone had just suggested Cinder Cat and Bob the Mouse.
I'm not sure we have a title. Do we have a title?
Someone suggested Cinder Cat.
That means you must have one in mind. I know. I can tell. You don't have one in mind?
Cinder Cat.
Oh, you're just the one who asks troubling questions, but you have no solutions. Do you have a title in mind? Or just a hand up in the air? What would your title be? We got to work on that too. Anybody have a? Let me give you the. There were lots of books that get famous because of their title, like "For Whom the Cat Tolls." War and Mouse. Would you? Yes. What's your?
Mine is the mouse and cat have trouble.
Well, that's not bad. You've got. You seem to think you have a better idea. Then what were you raising your hand for? What's that?
She wants to draw a picture of the mouse going to sleep, our last picture of the book.
Okay, come on, draw the last picture of the book. In the meantime, we're going to struggle on for a title. Yes, you have a title?
Cinder Cat versus Bob the Mouse.
I like
Cinder
that.
Cinder Cat versus Bob the Mouse.
Okay. We're going to do that as soon as you have another idea?
Yeah.
What is it?
A satisfactory day.
Well, they're both. Let's have a vote on what you like best. Who raise your hand for a satisfactory day. You're not grown-ups. Gee whiz. Do you have any relation to that child? Oh, sure. Okay, all those in favor of a satisfactory day. All right, all those in favor of...
Cinder Cat versus Bob the Mouse.
Well, I think
a satisfactory day.
What do you think?
It seems to have won.
Okay, a satisfactory day. I'm sorry for those...
Do you have another idea for a title?
Yeah, but I just wanted to tell you that you forgot to write the end.
Would you do that for us? When she's done with the Sleeping Mouse. Are you drawing Sleeping Mouse or Sleeping... Yeah. Did you finish it?
Oh! Yeah, why don't we give you a clean page?
Are you doing a Sleeping Bob or a Sleeping Cinder Cat?
Sleeping Bob.
Sleeping Bob. Oh. Maybe that's our title. So while she's drawing Sleeping Bob, does anyone have any other questions?
Does anybody have any other answers?
You have an answer?
You have an answer. I've always wanted the answer. What's your answer?
You can have a question, too.
You forgot.
You have an answer?
I have a question.
What's your question?
Can you tell us a little bit about the next book that you're working on together?
We have a copy of The Dummy. It's called My Side of the Car. It's... a father and daughter story. I was the father, she was the daughter. A version of the story actually happened. And would you like to tell what it is since you wrote the book?
So, when I was young, should I tell the version? When I was young, we were going to a wildlife sanctuary in Martha's Vineyard, and I was very, very, very excited about this trip. I couldn't wait to go, and I had waited a long time for us to go. And we're driving there, and we're about halfway there, when he says to me, Katie, it's raining. And I wasn't going to let a little thing like rain interrupt my trip, this outing with my dad. So I looked out my side of the car window and realized that, in fact, he was wrong. It wasn't raining. So I said, no, it's not. And he said, well, yes, it's raining. And I said, well, it's not raining on my side of the car. And so this story is about a girl and her father, and they're going to the zoo, and the father claims that it's raining. And a little girl insists, I think rightfully so, that in fact it's not raining on her side of the car.
And out of that comes an American classic.
And this is a copy of the next book that I did with a different illustrator.
Never mind.
Wonderful illustrator named Diane Good, and I bet a lot of you know her other books. And this is called President Pennybaker, and it comes out at the end of the summer, and it's about a little boy who runs for President of the United States. And do you think he wins?
No.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I'm not telling. You want to? You can draw the cheese.
Yeah, go ahead. That's a good piece of cheese.
All right, I think that's the end of our story.
Wait. We have one. She's this little. What's your name? Oh, I'm sorry. You sign your name, and she's going to write the end.
Oh, okay. Well, and once she writes the end,
I'd
say that. In all likelihood, it's the end. I'll hold this.
You have very nice handwriting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now you know how easy it is to write a children's book, and I want you all, of all ages, to go out and go home and write books tonight. And send them to whoever you can think of sending. Bring them to school! Bring the books, you know, that's a wonderful idea to make up your own story and illustrate your own story and take it to school. You've got a whole weekend to do it in. I want them on my desk by Monday morning. Thank you very much for coming.
And thank you. Thank you for joining us. And let's give another round of applause, please, for our team. And we hope that you can join us. We're having a little reception to celebrate National Library Week. Some snacks available and drinks. And we have books for sale outside the room. And Jules and Kate will be signing books as well.